Blog Talk Radio.
Hello everyone, Laurinella of the High Desert here. Thank you so much for tuning in. It's currently July 19th, 2015, 9 p.m. The show is brought to you by Grow with Laurinella. That's my personal online marketing services. I offer assistance in all kinds of tasks that relate to online marketing, such as social media management, email marketing, or simply helping you with whatever you need done. I'm a virtual assistant. I can work online. And so if you would like to know more about that, you can go to growwithlaurinl.com, and there's more information there about what I do. I'm also excited to announce that Laurinella of the High Desert is offering advertising opportunities. I put information up on laurinlofthehighdesert.com if you would like to read more about it. But I do have options available for promotion. And I really encourage you to get in touch with me because I use cutting-edge techniques for promotion and for spreading information. I customize promotion options according to your business and what you do. So this is a great opportunity for you and a great way to reach out to the community. If you would like to know more about it, you can email me at email me at laurinlhighdesert@gmail.com, and that would be great. There's been a lot of rain this weekend. I'm pretty sure many of you who are in the Morongo Basin have enjoyed it thoroughly. I know we don't get a lot of rain, and there was a flash warning tonight for rain from 3 to 6:30. I got the message on my phone, and my phone actually beeped because of this warning, and they were right. A storm came in within maybe 20 minutes, took over the whole area that I'm living in Joshua Tree, and immediately there was rain, and it just kept pouring for maybe 10 minutes, very heavy rain. I actually came across breaking news that is really, that's really surprising and interesting to hear about, and it was a bridge that collapsed in Desert Center, which is east of Indio, probably about a half-hour drive from Indio on the 10 freeway. There's not much out there, really. But I did come across an article from KTLA published at 8 p.m., and I just wanted to read it really quick to you because the picture that I see here is very catastrophic. So the article says, bridge collapses amid heavy rains near Coachella, prompting closure of 10 freeway. A bridge was swept away amid heavy rain Sunday in Desert Center, southeast of Joshua Tree National Park, prompting the closure of the 10 freeway in both directions. According to California Highway Patrol, a 30-foot section of the eastbound interstate is washed away and the bridge is gone. A bridge on the westbound side of the freeway at that scene, just west of State Route 177, was undermined and impassable due to uncertainty over whether it was structurally sound, the agency said. Caltrans officials are expected to assess the structure before it is reopened. So that was the big news from this rain that we've had. And I'm going to post this article on Laurinella of the High Desert's Facebook page, but the photo looks very scary. Bridge did collapse, and there's actually a vehicle that somewhat fell into the open space that was washed away. A lot of the dirt was washed away under the road, so that looks like quite a project to repair. Moving on, I'm going over a piece of history coming from a booklet published by the Morongo Basin Historical Society, as well as the 29 Palms Historical Society. This is the Morongo Basin 100-Year Project, 1910 through 2010. The article that I'm featuring today is from the year 1931, and the title is The First Yucca Valley School Built by Volunteers, and here's what the article says. In 1931, students in the west end of Morongo Basin were schooled in Yucca Valley. Because the Morongo Valley and Pipes Canyon schools were closed, students hitchhiked from those locations to Yucca Valley. Others walked to a building that stood near the corner of what is now Yucca and Wamango Street trails. That building had been built by the homesteader L.G. McCarger before he sold the homestead rights to Wallace Stacy. About 20 students were crowded into a room about 15 by 20 feet. It had rocks about 3 feet up and vertical wood boards, a hip roof, and an embossed tin ceiling. Stacy donated the adjoining 2 acres and about half the materials to build a larger school. Volunteers supplied labor and more materials. That larger school burned down in January 1937, and until it was replaced in September 1937, the Rock School was used again. Later, it was often used as an emergency school. In 1972, the Lions Club tried to save it and moved it piece by piece before it could be rebuilt. The pieces were taken to the dump. Sadly, a charming historical building was lost. It's always fun to read about schools in remote locations and how people got an education and got around. So that must have been quite a feat to have to hitchhike to Yucca Valley and try to get to school on time. Here are some events happening in the Morongo Basin. This week, there will be a Mojave Desert Land Trust and Joshua Tree Basin Water District Native Seed Collection happening on July 21st, starting at 7 a.m. in the morning, going to 8:30 a.m. Volunteers from Joshua Basin Water District, Mojave Desert Land Trust, and Joshua Tree National Park invite you to embark on a field exercise where native plant seeds will be collected. Learn how to identify a viable specimen and how to select and store for future preparation for propagation of nature's bounty. Participants will first assemble at 7 a.m. at the Joshua Basin Water District's parking lot and then caravan to the nearby collection site. If you would like to know more, you can contact Leslie of the Mojave Desert Land Trust. Her email is leslie@mojavedesertlandtrust.org, and they are asking to RSVP no later than July 20th if possible. There will also be a potluck this week hosted by the Yucca Mesa Improvement Association at the Yucca Mesa Community Center in Yucca Mesa. It will be on July 24th, starting at 6 p.m., and there will be a speaker. Her name is Sue Bond, and she will be discussing integrative quantum medicine. They do ask that you contribute $5 if you don't bring food to the event, but you can bring food if you would like, since it is a potluck. And a new event that I actually added to my calendar that's going to be taking place in early August is Joshua Tree National Park Takeover of Eagle Mountain meeting. I don't have the article open right now to go over everything with this meeting, but the meeting will be taking place at the Joshua Tree Community Center, again, August 5th, starting at 6 p.m. And this will be a really interesting meeting to attend because obviously Eagle Mountain is a really hot topic because there's been so many development projects proposed for that area. And so this meeting, which will be discussing taking over Eagle Mountain or adding it to Joshua Tree National Park, will be a good one to attend, and we can see what the fate will be for that area. And the article that I read about it actually said that Eagle Mountain used to be a part of Joshua Tree National Park, but it was excluded at one point because there were minerals found or natural resources found in the area that were useful and needed to be mined. So Eagle Mountain was excluded. So there is discussion again to bring it back to Joshua Tree National Park. And I encourage you to attend that meeting. I'm going to go over a few events that I went to recently. This was a pretty eventful week this past week. There was a MAC meeting on July 13th that took place at the Joshua Tree Community Center in Joshua Tree. And it was a really great meeting. Richard Luttringer of Landers was sworn in as a new board member on the MAC. He's representing Landers. There was also a speaker of the evening, and his name is Eldon Heaston. He's the executive director of the Mojave Air Quality Management District. I did take a few general notes about points that he made, and so I'll just brief through them really quick. Air management is, or air quality is really a big subject here in the Mojave Desert as we get a lot of wind and development happening with solar projects, as well as off-roading, which causes a lot of a lot of air pollutants. He did mention that driving fast in general on roads causes dust to blow, and that's actually a big contributor to poor air quality in the area. Personally, I question the air quality down by the Salton Sea. I know that's a big discussion, is the Salton Sea and how the future of the Salton Sea will impact air quality if it's not preserved. He didn't get into that issue, but here are some things that he said. He said the Mojave Air Quality Management District is one of the largest districts in the state of California. Districts are actually divided based on bioregion. The three nearest air quality monitors are located at Joshua Tree National Park, the 29 Palms Marine Base, and Lucerne Valley. Non-paved roads are a contributor to poor air quality, so it is recommended to drive slowly to prevent dust blowing. Air quality has improved since the early 1990s. The highest air quality board in California is the California Air Resource Board, and then it breaks down into local control. There is a vehicle buyback program that allows car owners to sell their old vehicles that are emitting many pollutants, and they are able to buy a more efficient vehicle, a more modern vehicle. I thought this was kind of funny. He said that there was a lawnmower exchange program, but it didn't perform so well in the Mojave district because most people out here don't have lawns, so makes sense that that would happen. The South Coast District, which is west of the Mojave Air Quality Management District, it's all along the coast, Los Angeles, all of the major cities. The South Coast District has approximately $100 million in funding, and that's because that district contains more cars. This district has approximately 8 to 10 million in funding. Funding is derived from vehicle tax. And I actually thought this was interesting because an attendee at the meeting actually asked him, can the South Coast District pay for the poor air quality here in the Mojave area? I don't have the exact question on hand, but basically it was mentioned by Houston that much of the poor air quality in the Mojave District is actually due to exhaust coming from Los Angeles. And so, again, someone asked, can the South Coast District pay for that? And Houston was quick to respond, no, they're not going to do that. Although they do have much more money than the Mojave District does. But again, he pointed out it's because they have more cars. So I thought that was interesting that even though we are being impacted by exhaust coming from the more populated areas, we have lower funding to do anything about it. Mark Lundquist, who is the chair of the MAC board, made an interesting comment, and he says that a local press entity has actually spoken down on the MAC meeting. I don't have the exact words on hand, but it was generally stated that the MAC is ineffective in terms of influencing board San Bernardino Board of Supervisors vote on particular developmental issues, and that the MAC isn't doing as much as other groups in the area. And I was really surprised to hear this because, to be honest, the MAC meetings are one of my favorite meetings to go to. They're very organized, and I did write an article on this. I am actually going over articles that I put on laurenelleofthehighdesert.com that I personally wrote. So I welcome you to go to my website. You can read more about what I published and what I have to say about these issues that I'm covering. But I did put up an opinion article where I basically said why I like the MAC meetings a lot. They're actually my favorite meetings to go to. And again, as I was saying, they're just very organized. I like how the MAC has board members that are from the different unincorporated areas of the Morongo Basin. Because we live here in the Morongo Basin, the only cities are Yucca Valley and 29 Palms. Everywhere else out here, including Joshua Tree, is unincorporated and is under county jurisdiction. So to have representatives come together from the different parts of the Morongo Basin, in my opinion, is really critical. And so there is representation coming from these places, such as Landers, Pioneer Town, Morongo Valley, Wonder Valley, et cetera. I also pointed out that I've learned so much by attending MAC meetings. Every meeting, there tends to be a speaker connected to some major organization or some major project in the area. For example, the MAC meeting a few months ago featured a representative from the NextEra Solar Project. He gave a full-out presentation about what NextEra wants to do with the solar project that they want to build at the abandoned airport in Joshua Tree. And so because of attending the MAC meeting, I was able to learn, oh, there's a solar project planning to be built, and here's the representative, here's the guy that I want to talk to if I have any questions. On top of that, as I just mentioned previously, they also had Eldon Heaston from the Air Quality District, the Mojave Air Quality Management District, which is a really important organization to be aware of when it comes to air quality. There's also been a good presentation given about off-roading in the area and BLM land management changes, possible changes in the future that would allow more off-roading, which was one of my favorite presentations I've seen. And so the MAC brings all of these representatives connected to the county, connecting to different projects. And it's just really great exposure and a really great way to keep up with what's happening in the Morongo Basin. They also had a speaker from Tenet Healthcare that gave a presentation a long time ago about how Tenet Healthcare was looking to take over or do the management of the High Desert Medical Center. And let me see what else I wrote as well. I also love to hear from the residents in the area. There's usually residents that go up and speak about issues that they find to be critical near where they live. For example, there have been speakers from Wonder Valley who have complained about grading on the roads near where they live. And that's an issue that I would completely be unaware of because I don't live out there and I don't go out there very much. But because of the residents coming and speaking, I'm aware, oh, people out in Wonder Valley are concerned about road development. There's an issue with road development. There's also residents that speak about crime in their area. And again, just make everyone aware of what's happening in the Morongo Basin, because just because you're in your little neighborhood, you don't know what's going on elsewhere in the area, and there's a lot happening. And finally, what I really like about the MAC meeting is that they also have the local police enforcement represented there, and they always give a breakdown of statistics of what happened during the previous month. So they'll explain major crime incidents, for example, if there's a fire or if there was some kind of car accident, they will give a general recap of what happened. They also explain how many 911 calls they got and what the 911 calls were about, if it was domestic violence or maybe it was theft or something related to that. They give a breakdown of what happened. And so it's just really ideal to, or it's great to know this information and to gain, again, an understanding of what's happening in the Morongo Basin. And Mark Lundquist actually made a good point that the MAC has played a role on critical issues, because the board members do vote on a stance on particular issues, such as the Bowman Solar Project that took place in Landers, and the WEMO project, the Altamira Housing. The MAC members do discuss these projects and will vote on whether they support it or not. And so this is actually a big influence on the County Board of Supervisors, because again, the MAC consists of representatives from different unincorporated areas. And so whatever the MAC says, that is actually representing people from these areas. And so it does have an influence on project development in the area. Another meeting that I attended was the Joshua Basin Water District Board members. And this particular meeting took place on July 15, 2015 at the Joshua Basin Water District located in Joshua Tree. And this meeting drew a lot of residents from Joshua Tree because the directors were voting on will serve letters for the Altamira housing project as well as the NextEra solar project. And really quick before I explain much about this, I will say that a will serve letter is an agreement between the developer and Joshua Basin Water District to provide water or sewer service. And I am going to try to get someone to speak on my broadcast more specifically about what a will serve letter is and what is the process of a developer developing a project and working with the water district to do this. Because really the developers have a lot of stepping stones and process that they have to go through to develop. And so obtaining a will serve letter is just one of those points on things to do that they get to check off if it is accepted by the water district. There was a big turnout again. As I said, it was a packed house. People were even standing up, and there were representatives at this meeting from Altamira and NextEra Solar. I'll brief over quickly public comment, because there was public comment open and a lot of people got up and said what their thoughts were. So here are some comments that residents made. California is in the worst drought recorded in history, and the future of water availability is uncertain. There was a lot of concern because we are in this heavy drought at this point in time. So many residents do question, why are we discussing will serve letters when we are in a drought? And again, I also want to point out that this is public comment, so do not take these comments as facts. It was said by the public. It was also pointed out that there is approximately 75% home occupancy in Joshua Tree, leaving approximately 25% of homes vacant in the area. And additionally, there is new housing construction that has already been initiated in Yucca Valley. That was in response to the Altamira housing project. Another person commented that there are wells without meters, so exact amount of water is not known. There is chromium-6 in the water, which is highly toxic. Measure O, which is from 1992, was an assessment to bring water into the valley because available water was not enough to meet the demand. In the end, for the Altamira housing will serve letter, it was voted in favor and it was accepted by the directors. They voted 4-1 in accepting it, stating that there was a study conducted 5 years ago. It was actually an urban water plan from 5 years ago, stating that there is ample water available, and there is, at this point, water available to meet the demands of the Altamira housing project. So they did let it go through, and they felt that it protects, that the letter actually protects the what the district is concerned about in terms of water use and water control. The next agenda item that was discussed at the meeting was the NextEra Solar Will Serve Letter. And this was interesting to see discussed. What was mainly pointed out about NextEra Solar is that they have approximately 10 parcels, and not all of the parcels are adjoined. So pointed out that when a developer is requesting a will serve letter, that the land that they're planning to use has to be all connected so that the data that's presented makes sense and can be used in reference to in the future. But since not all of the parcels for the solar project from NextEra are currently adjoined, they didn't feel that the company was ready for the will serve letter being accepted. And actually, NextEra would really like to be in development in March 2016 and wants to meet the deadline before December 2016. So when the representative from NextEra got up and spoke, he did say that they're planning to adjoin the property. It's not done at this point in time, but it will be done in the near future, and he was really hoping that they would accept the will serve letter. And something else just to be aware of, it was pointed out during the meeting that there have actually been a lot of requests coming in or questions and phone calls about farming opportunities in the Morongo Basin. It was pointed out that land here is so cheap at this point in time and so affordable that farmers are looking to bring their agriculture to the Morongo Basin. Phone calls have come in from farmers who are interested in farming watermelon, olive, figs, and pomegranate. There's currently 2 to 3 farms that are already existing in the Morongo Basin. It was also mentioned that permits are not required when planting on personal property, that you can actually purchase property and just begin planting trees, and there's no permit required to do that. Residents were concerned about fertilizer that the farms would bring because fertilizer can potentially impact water safety. It can emit pollutants into the water. It can also increase invasive species because fertilizer tends to contain artificial ingredients, and pests can become a potential problem as well. And on a final note, the Joshua Basin Water District has been requested by the state to reduce water usage by 28%, but currently it has only been reduced by 8%. And so this was another comment that was brought up by a resident who attended the meeting, which was if there's been difficulty in reaching the 28% water use reduction, then why is water being given to developers in this area? Those were the major events that I attended last week. It was a pretty eventful week, and I encourage you to pay attention to what's happening with the Joshua Basin Water District as well as the MAC meetings. They always cover great information. And I only have a few minutes left, but I will point out a couple articles that I came across on Z1077 and High Desert Star. There's an article from Z1077 from July 18, 2015, stating Public Utility Commission hearing on Verizon sale of land services. Verizon sold its landline phone service, internet, and Fios video service, but not its cell phone service to Frontier Communications. That may be of interest to some of you. Also, coming from Z1077, July 17, 2015, Joshua Basin Water customers get Chromium 6 notice. Customers of the Joshua Basin Water District recently received notice about Chromium 6 in the water. I will be posting this on Lauren L. of the High Desert's Facebook page. And finally, the last article that was appealing was that Tenet has officially taken over the High Desert Medical Center. I know this is of interest to many of you who may have health problems, could potentially have health problems, you never know. But Tenet Healthcare is now officially in the valley, and it has taken management of High Desert Healthcare Center on Wednesday, July 15th. Tenet will manage operations of the 59-bed primary care hospital and the 120-bed skilled nursing facility on the hospital campus and associated programs previously operated by the hospital. That's all I have for today. Thank you so much for tuning in. I hope all of you have a wonderful week. If there's anything that you would like me to cover in the future, then please contact me at laurenlhighdesert@gmail.com. You can also visit laurenlofthehighdesert.com for all of the information I went over about the events happening in the Morongo Basin, as well as the MAC meeting and the Joshua Basin Water District meeting. All right, take care. And again, have a great week.